Hi, I'm Emily Solaby, founder of Juno Jones, the stylish safety boot company, and your host on the Hazard Girls podcast here on Jacket Media. I'm so honored to host this show where I get to chat with Hazard Girls about their careers. Hazard Girls is an online community for women working in traditionally male-dominated fields. On our show, you'll get to hear from these amazing women about the path that led them to their current careers, challenges they've overcome, advice for other women in entering these industries, and more. Leah Hostetter is the Director of Customer Success at Construction Leading Edge, a construction business coaching firm. They help overworked business owners reclaim their construction businesses through developing sustainable systems, effective team structures, and repeatable processes that make the business work better for everyone. Leah is also the founder of Leader's Voice, where she is a women's executive leadership coach and feminine culture champion. I love that, Leah. Leah founded Leader's Voice in early 2018 as a way to help professional women advance their careers and make a difference in their company's culture and success. Welcome to the Hazard Girls podcast, Leah.
Thank you, Emily. I'm happy to be here.
So you are clearly all about empowering professional women to excel in their careers. And you do this through your coaching business, Leader's Voice. You also have a very relevant perspective for our audience, having had a long career already in the construction industry. So I would love to hear if you could tell us how you got started in the construction industry and a little bit about your path.
Yeah, of course. I grew up in the construction industry. So my dad is a general contractor, and I remember being a very young girl out on a job site doing little odd jobs like picking up garbage. And then as I grew, my skill set grew as well. I've done pretty much everything around a residential home. So anything from foundation forms to framing to pulling wire to roofing, I've done it all. Just that was my background. That's how I grew up in the industry. And then after college, I call it my first big girl job. I worked for Pulte Homes in Las Vegas, and they are one of the large production builders in the US, and then kind of stayed with that through corporate, stayed with some of the large production builders for many years. My last role being more focused on training and development as the national director for a large company, and then decided to step aside and do some things that were a little bit more passionate to me, which was helping women. And then since about a year and a half ago, I joined Todd DeWalt and his team at Construction Leading Edge. And now I get to work with business owners, construction business owners, and help them to create systems in their business to eliminate the chaos, to get their life back, to actually be a business owner instead of someone who owns a business, but still works a job.
That's
really my whole life, my whole career. I've been in this industry and I love it.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's so interesting to me that you've been in the construction industry for such a long time and you even grew up in it. Mm-hmm. So I would love to know, you know, a little bit about your perspective on how maybe it's changed for women. I know when you're a little girl, you know, and you're just in the environment, you're not really thinking about these things necessarily. But as you left college, you went back to the construction industry. And so it's been quite a while, right? It's been 10, 15 years at least. So can you talk about how you've seen the industry change for women?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Those are good questions to ask. And yes, as a young girl, I didn't even think anything of it. You know, I just followed my dad around, went to the hardware store with him, swung a hammer when he told me to swing a hammer. I thought it was a guy's world, you know, never really intended to necessarily make that my career. But it just kind of fell into my lap. And thankfully, through being taught hard work and doing the best that I can, and I really attribute that to my parents, I just rose in my career, and it just became a career that I'm like, okay, I guess this is where I'm at. And thankfully I found success through that, even with some of the up and downs of construction, which is inevitable. But I will say that, you know, and there's a lot of stats, I haven't looked at them recently, but there's not a lot of women in this industry. Mm-hmm. And so as a woman coming into it, you learn a lot of things really fast. And I think one of the things that I learned is I need to know my stuff. I need to be very smart. I need to do my homework, and whatever it is, we all have our biases. And no matter what the case may be, no matter how many years of experience I have, anytime I show up in a new spot, like on a job site, I'm automatically, you know, pinged for someone who maybe doesn't know anything or doesn't know as much. And for a while that bothered me, but then I kind of started playing playing some games with it, if you will. You know, I just kind of stay silent for a little while and just listen and hear some of the things that were going on around me. And then I just suddenly opened my mouth and all this knowledge would come out and people would kind of do a double take, like, wait, she knows something. So I don't know that the industry has changed a whole lot necessarily. I think the tides are starting to. There's more women coming into the industry, which I think is great. And we need more women. We need that perspective. And I think people are starting to realize that having a different perspective is a good thing. And, you know, kind of going back to talking about Leader's Voice and my coaching and working with women, one of the things that I often say is use these opportunities as coaching opportunities. We can get mad, we can get upset, but sometimes it just is what it is. And that doesn't really change anything. But if you can use these opportunities to coach, you might actually influence people to not do that in the future. They may not even be aware that they're doing some of these things. So an example of that, my last team that I was on when I was in the corporate world, it was me and three other men. We were all at the same level, at a director's level, except for our boss, who was a VP. And yet every time we had a team meeting, they just turned to me and say, "Hey, Leah, you got the notes, right?" And I didn't really dawn on me. I'm a pretty good note taker. I'm pretty organized. So those are things I'm going to do anyways. But then I thought, wow, I wonder why I'm always the one being asked to do this. Yeah. And these are men that I respect highly, and they respected me highly. And I brought it up to them one day and just jaws dropped. I don't even think they had realized that they had this bias and that that was something that they were just almost automatically considering to ask the woman in the room to do it.
We had Construction Law Gal on our podcast. That's Jennifer Todd. Uh-huh. And her number one piece of advice in the construction industry for women is never bring a pen.
I like that. Yeah. That's good advice. Yeah, absolutely. But you know, I think that was a great opportunity, because I guarantee anytime they go into a meeting like that again, they're going to be thinking twice before they automatically turn to the woman and say, "Hey, can you do this?"
So I'm curious, how long did it take you, you know, in your career before you felt comfortable to be able to say something like that? Because I know when I was starting out in my first career in law, I was very young. And well, I think I did actually speak up, but I don't know if it benefited me very much. But I can imagine, you know, having hesitancy if you want to keep your job, you know, to not speak up. So at what point in your career did you really feel comfortable doing that?
Ooh, that is also a good question. I will say, I think I was pretty fortunate to work for Pulte Homes right out of college. They're an excellent company. It's been several years since I've worked for them, so I don't know how things have changed recently, but going in, they had a very strong culture, a very good leadership program, and they trained their people really well. So I never felt like I was silenced there necessarily, but I did feel like I had to prove myself a little bit more. And so being pretty new and wanting to know what I was doing so I could be good at what I was doing, it took me probably a year or two to feel like, okay, I got this. I know what I'm doing. Yeah. Now I can speak up. But I feel like my confidence in really speaking up came as I rose in my career, as I was promoted and got more and more opportunities to be a true leader. It was almost my duty, if you will, for me to speak up more. And so I took that opportunity and I did speak up more. But it wasn't without a little bit of trial and error. And the reason I say that is, as a woman in an industry that's dominated by men, you look around at all the leadership in front of you and ahead of you, and most of them are men. And so you almost automatically think, well, that's how I have to lead. And so I kind of went down that road, but it wasn't until I stepped into more of my natural abilities as a woman, more of my feminine abilities, that I feel like I really took off. Because that is, I believe, our power as women, is to lean into our femininity.
Let's definitely touch on that, because I want to hear about the differences that you find in the leadership styles. Before we do that, let's talk a little bit about the company you're working for, Construction Leading Edge. I want to hear, because when I read about what you do there, to me, I thought, wow, this has such a wide reach, because there are so many businesses that could benefit from this.
Absolutely.
And I mean, this is actually for the construction industry, but many of our listeners own their own businesses. Many of them own their own businesses in the construction industry or are in leadership in the construction industry. And so can you just give us an idea more about what the company does and who your customers are?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for that. So Construction Leading Edge is the name of the company, and we work primarily with construction business owners, though we do have a few who are in upper leadership that join our program as well. And we have kind of our flagship program. It's called Systematize Your Construction Business. And what we do when we have a construction business owner come in, many of them, these may resonate with a lot of your listeners, they feel this chaos. They feel like they're constantly putting out fires. They feel like they're maybe the stop between getting work done, and because all the information's in their head and everything has to run through them. And it's just chaotic and it's frustrating and it feels maybe a little bit hopeless and a lot of sleepless nights. This is not uncommon for a lot of our clients who come in. And what we do with them through this flagship program, it's an 8-week long program, though the implementation takes a little longer than that. But really what we do is we help them to, first and foremost, we have what we call the CEO schedule. We help them to get really organized with their time. That's key. To find out, like, what is it that is blocking me? What is it that's distracting me? I'm getting pulled in a million different directions. How can I organize my time to be more effective? And that's one of the very first things before we even dive into the main content, the meat and potatoes of the program. And then from there, we talk to them about what we call our accountability chart. Who's your team? Do you have the right team in place for where you want to go with your business? Are the right people in the right seats? Do they know what they need to do to be successful? We help them get that figured out and organized. And then from there, and this is probably the most beneficial for our clients, we have a process called Nail the Handoff, where we help them map out the process for their pre-construction. And now we have business owners of all types. We have commercial construction owners. We have residential construction business owners. We even have trade partners that come in. And so it's a little bit different for all of them. But what we do is we guide them to create that process with their team. We're not giving them a template. They're pulling their team together and they're mapping out what is our process going to be. And that's huge. It's extremely powerful for them. Because if you can imagine, if you can get that process right, all of the things, we're just going to take residential as an example.
Okay.
From the minute someone says, yes, I want to work with you, until you start building the home, until in that process, if you could get all of those things organized and completed and done, imagine how much smoother the rest of your process is going to go. The actual construction of the home or the actual remodel of the home. So we really focus a lot on that. And there's a lot of tips and tricks and things that we're giving to these clients, but ultimately, and this is the magic, is they're pulling their team together and they're creating that process with their team. And then we're guiding them to implement that. So they get a lot of group coaching and they get a lot of one-on-one coaching, and it's extremely beneficial. It shifts businesses in a very dramatic way for our clients from that chaos to, wow, I have a life back. I get to now think about being a CEO instead of a business owner that's pulled into my business consistently.
There was a passage on your website that stuck out to me. I actually screenshot it and sent it to my husband. It talked about how, you know, as a business owner, get your systems in place so that you can actually do the other things in your life, like volunteer as a coach or volunteer in the community. Spend time doing the things that you enjoy. Is that a big part of what your business does?
Absolutely. We love results at Construction Leading Edge. That is one of the things that we love, is once people start to implement this in their business, they create the process and then they implement it and they start to see the results of that. Many of them are like, I don't know what to do now. That's a good problem to have. That's a really good problem as a business owner, to now be a true CEO, to your point. Now I want to go do some of the things that I'm really passionate about. I want to go volunteer here, or I want to go travel more with my family, or some of the things that when we start as a business owner, those are the reasons why, is we want that freedom. And many times we get so overwhelmed with the day-to-day that we never really realize that. We become a business owner who has a job.
I've heard what
we're doing is, we were sorry about that. We want to take our clients from that to a true CEO to have the freedom back in their life.
That sounds very valuable. And the way I've heard it phrased is working in your business rather than on your business as an owner or as a leader in the company. And you should be really, you know, work rather than putting out fires, you should be getting the systems in place. Can you maybe give us a few strategies? I know that you mentioned getting the team together and really focusing on the preliminary aspects and the pre-construction. What are some tips that might translate to not just to construction, but maybe to other business owners?
Yeah, I think this is key. You know, I'd mentioned what we call our CEO schedule. Mm-hmm. First, taking an inventory of where you're spending your time. Mm-hmm. And if we're being really honest, a lot of us are probably wasting a lot of time. Or maybe it's just simply reorganizing our time to where we're not being pulled in multiple directions, literally, mm-hmm. physically. Because a lot of our clients, they want to go and check their job sites. They want to go see how things are running. Now, hopefully it gets to the point where you have really trusted people that you don't have to do that. But if that is your current state, okay, well, then how can you organize your time to just be out for one chunk of time during the day and the rest of the time you're in the office working on other things instead of an hour here, an hour out there, running back and forth and all over the place? So I would say that's probably one of the first things is to get really dialed in and honest about your time and where you're spending it and where you're being distracted. And if there are things that you can eliminate or lessen as far as distractions, do it. Emails, that's a big one. Many of us have become kind of slaves to our emails. And anytime that little red dot pops up, we automatically want to jump in and see what's going on. Maybe you turn your email off and you only check it a couple times a day. Mm-hmm. The world will survive. It can wait a couple of hours for you to check your emails. That's one. Another one, people often say social media or news or things like that distract them. So maybe turn your phone off or put it in another room while you're working on certain things that you don't want to be distracted by. So that I think is one of the first ones. Take an inventory of your time, see where maybe you're wasting it, what your distractions are, and do whatever you can to eliminate those. Once you have a really good, solid schedule in place, and by the way, this works for anyone, not just a business owner, but even employees who have a little bit of autonomy over their time and what they do in their day. Also look at that, see how you can be more effective with that. From there, I would say a lot of our clients will say, that's just the way we've always done it. We hear this all the time in construction.
Oh, yeah.
And if something's not broken, don't fix it. But I think it is also wise to have an open mind and to be open to other opportunities and other possibilities. And this is where I think bringing your team in together to pull ideas from everybody and not just have you be the only one who's directing what a process might look like in your business. Use the folks that you've hired. You've hired them for a reason. And by the way, they might actually be better at their specific job than you are. So lean on them. Ask them, hey, something's not working here. How would you do it? What would you do? How could we create a process that would make sense? That's another one, I think, is to be open to new opportunities or new suggestions to things. That's a big one. And then, oh gosh, the other one just left my mind. This is a big one. We say this a lot. How can you make this the last time you do this?
Ooh.
So if you're consistently having to do the same thing over and over again, or you're consistently having to address a concern of a client, or you're consistently having to put out the same fire, what can you do to make sure you don't have to do that again? Maybe it's a process. Maybe it's setting an expectation, whatever the case may be. Let's find those things that you can get in front of those challenges so you're never having to do it again.
Very good advice. I'm curious about growth. A lot of times when I know in my own personal experience, when I've wanted to hire someone to do construction, they have been very busy, right? They don't have the time. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's because as an owner, they're doing a lot of the work themselves. How do you advise construction companies who are very talented, very successful, to branch out and actually promote growth so that they can take on more projects and maybe doing less of the work themselves?
That's a really good question. I think this points back to what I had mentioned earlier. One of the first parts of our program is what we call the accountability chart. Does your team know what they're responsible for? Is it very clearly outlined for every single position, exactly what they need to do, what they're accountable for, and how to be successful? I think if there's a lot of gray area in that, it pulls you in a lot of directions. You're having to respond to a lot of things. You're having to answer a lot of questions. You're probably also the stop between getting things moving quickly and efficiently because everything's in your head. That's another thing we hear often. It's all in my head. So everyone needs to come to me to ask, hey, is this right? Or do I have permission to move forward? Well, imagine if your whole team knew that, hey, this is my position. We'll just make this up. Bob the builder, he or she is the superintendent on site. What do they need to do every single day? What is the most important thing for them to be focusing on? And do they have the authority to make decisions? Well, they do if you've outlined that for them and they know exactly what they're accountable for. They know what success looks like. Can you imagine if your whole team had that and everybody was taking ownership? That frees you up to do more marketing, to reach out to your contacts, to build your business a portfolio because things are a little bit more organized. You're not having to be in the business as much.
Yeah, right. It goes back to that that phrase of working on your business instead of in your business.
Yes.
Well, we never like seeing businesses fail, but failure is a part of business and it's a part of success, to be honest. And successful companies move forward because they learn from their mistakes and their failures. So can you give us some examples of failures you've seen and how companies have learned from them?
Ooh, that's a really good question. And I appreciate that you prefaced that with saying failures, we have, these are opportunities to learn.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're going to fail as a business owner. That's just inevitable. And I think if you're scared of that, you might want to reconsider being a business owner. But that is, that's inevitable. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to fail. But I would say one of the best pieces of advice that I've been given as a business owner and that now I get to share with business owners is whenever something we view as a failure, take a step back and look at it. What did you learn from it? Mm-hmm. If you can refocus your energy on a lesson that you learned or a lesson to be learned, if you're in the middle of something versus, wow, I was a failure. And that can quickly pull your confidence down. And it if your confidence is low and if your energy is not so high vibrating as it maybe was when you were having a lot of successes, you tend to make more mistakes. But if it's really just a shift in your viewpoint and a shift in the way you're viewing things and your mindset. So if you can look at those failures, I'm using air quotes, you can look at those and say, okay, what can I learn from this?
Yeah.
And then I think that prompts that question I said earlier, how can we make this the last time we do this?
Right.
Let's make sure, what are the fail stops to make sure we're not having this problem again? You know, that allows you to be able to jump in front of it so it's no longer a challenge in the future.
Well, hearing you talk about mindset, it makes me think of your executive coaching business, Leader's Voice. Why did you decide to start that company in 2018?
Oh, a few reasons. I think though I'd always been in a corporate role, I'd always wanted to be an entrepreneur. And I think that really points back to a lot of the things that we do at Construction Leading Edge, some of our values. Freedom is one of them. I wanted that freedom. I'm a hard worker. I always have been. That's just something that's been instilled in me. But I wanted to work on my time. So that was one part of it. The other part was, I think being a woman in a male-dominated industry, I had this empathy and this passion for wanting to help other women specifically to rise and to do great things in their lives and their careers. And so that was just something that I was really passionate about. And the name of the company that I started, Leader's Voice, I feel was very well chosen. Because I think women often, we don't even know what our voice is. And if we do have a voice, oftentimes we are too shy or for a myriad of reasons, we don't use it very often. And I believe women are great leaders and we can speak up and we should speak up. And so what I was doing through my coaching, it was primarily focused on that, like helping women to understand what their specific leader's voice is. And then how do you speak up? How do you do that in a way that will help you to rise in your life and your career? And so much of that is mindset. I have had to work through a lot of my own mindset blocks, even joining into that space, you know, walking into a place going, how can I actually teach women this if I haven't totally figured this out myself? Oftentimes feeling like I was just a step or two ahead of anyone that I was coaching or guiding. But we learn a lot, again, from our mistakes. And I think that's just something that I'm really passionate about, is just helping women to be better in their lives and their careers, and have really kind of landed in this space, having been in this industry for a long time. I think that's where I want to continue my focus with women, is in this industry.
Are you, in your work with this company, have you dealt with mostly individual women, with companies? What type of consulting work is that?
A little bit of everything. I've done one-on-one coaching. I've done some group coaching programs. And I have done speaking engagements where mm-hmm. I've been a keynote speaker for different large organizations. And that's been really fun to get to do that on a larger stage and to reach a lot more people. And the thing that's been cool is with a lot of those audiences, they were mixed. So it wasn't just women. And I really appreciate that because I think it's opened up an opportunity to help coach once again, to help coach men to say, hey, you know, has this been something that maybe you've experienced with some of the women in the workplace or even in your personal lives? And have you considered that maybe you could do it this way? Or have you mm-hmm. considered that it could have been taken this way? And so many times I would have men come up to me after and say, I have daughters and I don't want them to struggle the same way that I see other women struggling right now. What can I do as a man to help this? And that I think is really encouraging. And it takes everyone. We all need to unite together to help everybody. And it's I have a very firm stance of not being negative or bashing men. It's not going to help anything. We all need to work together. And that is definitely my take on this, is to work together, to coach one another, to help everybody to be better.
Well, what do you tell men when they ask you that, how they can help?
I think it's awareness. I think that's always the first step to change, is being a little bit more aware. So, you know, I laugh a little bit about a couple of those stories that I shared with you, where I'm on a job site for a day or two and I don't say much, and then I'll say something and everyone's like, oh, she knows something. Or the example of being in that team with all men and them just not realizing. And I'll share some of those stories, and I do it in a very light way because I want to keep things light and happy and positive, of course. But then I'll say, think about that. Think about that the next time you're in a meeting. Look around the room. Are there any other women there? If there's only one, could you be a champion for her? If she speaks up, could you second maybe what she says? Or could, if someone interrupts her, could you help with that? Because these are things that happen often. And I think we overall, most of us just are like, oh, that's just how it is.
Yeah.
But what are some ways that we could help encourage that and to support that in healthy ways?
Now, you talked earlier, at the beginning of the episode, we kind of touched on the idea of feminine leadership and how it might differ. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yes, I do. And sometimes when I share some of this, people feel like it's a little bit woo-woo, but this is the truth. There are masculine and feminine energies, okay? And I also think there are masculine and feminine traits in leadership. Now, when I say that, I am not referring to men and women. I'm referring to traits. Okay. So every one of us, whether we're a man or a woman, we have these energies or these traits within us. So an example of masculine leadership would be getting things done. It would be ambition. It would be the drive, right? These are all things that we see in leaders. And it's
necessary. This can be women.
This can be women. 100%. Yes. This is not men or women, but these are masculine traits or energies, if you want to say it that way. Now, on the flip side, some of the feminine traits in leadership are empathy and caring and listening. Also, men can encompass those as well. So you can see with those examples of the masculine and feminine, men and women both can have them. Now, I believe a good leader understands both of those and leans into one or the other when necessary to truly lead. Because we do need to consider the human aspect in leadership. That's a good leader. They look at the team that they lead, they look at the people around them, and they consider, hey, these are humans. You know, they have lives, they have hearts. Let's be empathetic. Let's hear them. Let's understand what's going on in their world so I can help them be better. At the same time, they got to get stuff done. You know, we have goals, we have things that we need to do. And so encompassing both of those and leaning into one or the other when it's appropriate, I think that is what is a great leader. And both women and men can do both of those things. And I think that is, especially for women, the message I like to share with them is, lean into more of your feminine energy and more of your feminine traits, because so many of us, I think we just see how men lead and we think that's how we do it. And that's the only way to do it. But there's a way that we can encompass both.
Right. Don't fight it. So what is the leader's voice system?
Okay. So leader's voice system, I had mentioned earlier, I help women to identify what their specific leader's voice is. You know, for lack of full transparency in this right now, I'd love to share with anyone, but I have identified four different leaders' voices that we all have and what's naturally ours. I think another part of leadership is being authentic to who we are. There's a time and a place for everything, just like in the example that I shared a moment ago. And we need to lean in to those things when it's appropriate. Mm-hmm. However, all of us, we can sniff out inauthenticity pretty quickly, right? We mm-hmm. can tell when someone's not being authentic to themselves. And so there is a form of leadership that in our specific leader's voice that we have that is more natural to us. And so staying in that is great. Staying authentic to who you are is great. And so helping women to understand that, as well as to understand these two different opposing energies, if you will, the masculine and the feminine, and when can we use them and when can we be most effective in that? Those are really some of the main things that I guide women through when I'm doing either a group coaching or a one-on-one coaching.
And I also wanted to ask you about your podcast with the Construction Leading Edge Company. Can you tell us about the podcast? And it's very successful. So we'd like to hear a little bit more about some of your successes and wins that you've had.
Yes, of course. Now, I can't take credit for this at all. This is all Todd DeWalt. He is the owner and the founder of Construction Leading Edge. And he has started this podcast. Oh, gosh, I forget the year, but it's been around for a while. He's one of the original podcasters, especially in the construction industry. And this podcast is specifically focused, obviously, for construction business owners. That is our audience. And many people, in fact, a couple of months ago, someone that I knew in a former life messaged me. He's a construction superintendent for a large company, and he regularly listens to our podcast. So it's not just for business owners. I think people in all realms of construction can certainly gain a lot from this. But what we like to focus on are some of those things. As a business owner, as a CEO, how are you going to be most successful? And sometimes we dive into different things like mindset, or, you know, we'll even, as our team, we'll read books that are coming out that are pretty big and impactful. We'll read them together and then we'll discuss them on our podcast and give some of the high points. We talk about things like, I think one of our most recent popular ones was about procrastination and the different mm-hmm. types of procrastination, and which one are you, and how can you overcome that type of procrastination? I'm a perfectionist, by the way. I struggle with that one. But it's just a great podcast. And then I think this is probably the bread and butter, is we often like to interview some of our clients who have gone through our program and have seen great success. And they like to share their stories. They like to say, hey, this is where I was. This is where I'm at now. And like I said, we love results. So that's one of the things that we absolutely love, is to hear the impact that this is making in people's lives and the results, and not just in the business itself. Many of them are much more profitable. Things are running a lot more smoothly. But then personally, you know, when we mm-hmm. hear some of our clients say, I have the time now to really invest and help with some of the youth programs in my community, or I get to now travel with my wife. And that's been something we've been planning on for our whole lives. And this is now a reality. It's results like that that we love to hear and we get very excited about.
And that's called the Construction Leading Edge podcast, right?
It is.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, Leah, what's on the horizon for you?
Right now, actually, I am going to be attending the Women in Construction Conference coming up in Nashville in a couple of weeks. I'm sure many of your audience members will be there. I'll be doing a roundtable there. Mm-hmm. I've been a keynote speaker in the past, sharing a little bit about women and voice and leadership. So hopefully I can get to meet some of your folks there. Continuing to work with Todd and our team and helping more and more construction business owners. And then just kind of have some thoughts and plans on the horizon of how I can get involved more with women in construction. So that's kind of what I'm aiming for in the next year or so.
And are you still doing some work as an executive coach for women?
I am. I am opening things up. I'll probably be opening things up a little bit more in the next few months to be able to do that. I currently have things kind of on pause, but if someone reached out and they wanted to work with me, I would not turn them away. I would love to be able to help anyone.
And where can our listeners find you?
Probably the best place is on LinkedIn. And my name is Leah Hostetter. I'm sure you'll probably have that written out. That's probably a great place to reach me, is through LinkedIn.
Leah Hostetter is the Director of Customer Success at Construction Leading Edge and founder of Leader's Voice. Thank you so much for joining us on the Hazard Girls podcast today. So much to talk about, so many great tips, and your energy is awesome. You're very inspiring. So thanks for being with us, Leah.
Oh, thank you, Emily. It was my pleasure.
You have been listening to the Hazard Girls podcast on Jacket Media, sponsored by Juno Jones, the stylish safety boot company. That's JunoJonesShoes.com. And you can go there to learn about our steel toe boots and to join the Hazard Girls community. I'm your host, Emily Salaby. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next week.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.